you have some time?
Yes.
Are you in a hurry?
No.
Praise God. My perspective, got a good amount of time on the clock there. And so I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. You know the Lord's just not going to be outdone. So I just slept in. I didn't really fall off to sleep till about 2 a.m. on Friday morning. And kind of knew in my spirit I wasn't going anywhere, at least right now. And so I got up and got my truck to head home, you know. And I said, Father, I've got about 2 hours. The GPS here says I got 2 hours, 15 minutes. I'm just going to spend it with you. And just set out to pray in the Holy Ghost. Well, before I got off the Briley Parkway onto I-24, the Lord was just on me. And he said, I want to talk to you. Amen. And he said, I want you to appeal. That's the way he said it to me. I want you to appeal to my people. And I said, oh, Father, okay. You know, I try to do that every Sunday, you know. But and it's a weighty thing, but not a heavy thing. Amen. And so what he dealt with me about was the will of God. The will of God. And he said, son, make a fresh appeal to my people to do my will. To know its importance in their lives. And he just began to talk to me about the will of God. And one of the things he brought me back to, you just park there in 1 John chapter 2. Let me pray real quick. Father, we come to you today and we appeal to you for help. Holy Spirit, you are the great helper. I'm so glad that there's a member of the Godhead and his entire name, one of his names is, I'm the helper. So help me today, Father God, through your Spirit, to accurately communicate, to speak and to minister what is on your heart and mind. And Holy Spirit, equally on the people's side, help them. Help them to catch, to receive, to get over, you know, what you got over to me, that same essence, that same spirit, before the service is over, it will be received in them. Father, we thank you for utterance. We thank you for divine help. We thank you for revelation and light concerning this amazing, massive subject called the will of God. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Well, did you believe that? Did you release faith? We're in faith together. Praise God. Well, the Lord brought me back to something that he said to me some years ago. And it's in an older journal, so it's been several years ago. And, you know, I had received what he said to me, and I'll relate it to you in a moment, and meditated on it, preached it, done my best to walk in the light of it. And in the truck there, the Lord said, there's so much more in what I said to you than what you've seen. And you've heard me relate it, most of you. But there was a time when the Lord said to me, he said, son, you have health and wealth. You have provision. You have protection. You have my blessing, my favor. I'm not saying it exactly, but he just took off listing, yeah. Brother Joe, all these wonderful things. I believe he mentioned you have a wife that loves you, and you have children that love God, and you have, but and he said, after he gave me that list, he said, son, you have all these things because you're in my will. Because you're in my will. And then he ended that by saying, teach others. They can have the same thing. They can have the same. Well, the Lord said, there's more in that than you've seen. Now, I've meditated on that, related it to you, taught on it. You know, you think, you know, it's just like almost a verse of Scripture. You thought, I've seen everything there is to see in that verse. I got all the juice out of that there is to get. But no, well, nobody's gotten all the help and light and truth and revelation in any one thing that God has said. And I said, well, Father, you're saying it must be right. And, you know, we need to let the will of God define us. It needs to define who you are. As we'll see this morning, Lord willing, as he'll, I've got more on those sheets of paper than I'll ever get to today. But the when we think about, God asked me, he said, Chris, who are your heroes? Tell me who your heroes are. Well, you know, obviously you put Jesus at the top of that list. But beyond that, the Apostle Paul is one of my heroes. And then you could list a bunch of biblical characters. But, you know, in more modern times, Kenneth E. Hagin, one of my heroes. Now, I mean, Spider-Man might be your hero. I get that. But I'm telling you about me. My heroes are people like Dr. Dufresne. My heroes are people like Keith Moore. You know, people like Smith Wigglesworth. And so God, I just began to name them. And he said, what is it about them that makes them your hero? And it's just obvious. They did the will of God. They lived for God's plan. It consumed them. It defined who they were. And even sometimes at great personal cost to themselves, they stayed true to the will of God. And they're my heroes. Anyone truly great, they are great because they did God's will. We need to renew our mind to what great is. Great is not what the world calls great. Great is not having 30 million followers on Instagram. Great is not having a private jet. Great is not being famous. Taylor Swift is not great. Taylor Swift needs Jesus in a big way. Travis Kelce, he's not great. There's nothing great about him outside of the will of God for his life. Just like you, just like me, just like every other human, he is nothing. He has nothing outside of a relationship with Jesus, outside of the will of God for his life. He's a failure. Now, I'm not trying to pick on any one person, but I mean the people that are current, that people talk about, you know, and there's this big fight. Will she or won't she endorse someone for president? Who cares? Who cares? God help you if you're thinking about voting the way Taylor Swift does. Now, there's greatness in them if God is in them, but I don't see any evidence right now that God is in them. Greatness is defined by knowing and doing the will of God for your life. Amen. So in 1 John, whoo, glory. See, that just anointing is on me. And I'm trusting the Lord here. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, it says, love not the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, that's a big word, A-L-L, all that is in the world, and the lust, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, this is the cravings and the desires, the appetites of the natural man. And the lust of the eyes, the things you see you want. And the pride of life is not of the Father. It is not of the Father, young people. Amen? It is of the world. Now notice verse 17. This is the most important verse in this little passage here. What's happening to the world? It is currently deeply progressed in the process of passing away. And all the desires connected to the world, being popular, achieving earthly success, whatever it is that people define that way, it's all passing away. None of it's going to last. In the end, none of it will matter. None of it will matter. On Judgment Day, there's going to be a winner for the greatest number of followers on any social media account. There will be no eternal reward handed out. Right? For the amount of press you got. Or how many people bought stuff with your product line. The only thing that's going to matter is did you or did you not do the will of God for your life? In the end, that's the only thing that's going to matter. So the world is passing away and the lust thereof, but look at this. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Doing the will of God will count beyond your earthly existence. It will last for the eons. It will echo throughout eternity that in this little blip, this little vapor of time you had on the earth, you did the will of God. And nothing else will matter. Amen. Go with me to Psalm 39. Now, in the booth, I'm not following my notes. You know, this Psalm 39 is like on the last page. So we're just following along here.
Yes, sir.
It's more important to follow the Holy Ghost than your notes, right? Psalm 39. And if someone has a more modern translation available that they like as I read this passage, you might hand it to me. Psalm 39, verse 4. Lord, make me to know my end. And the measure of my days. Help me to number my days. In other words, he's saying, help me to have an eternal perspective on my life. That I might know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. In other words, my entire lifespan it's about as wide as my hand. It's fleeting. It's short. Are you with me?
Yes.
And mine age is as nothing before you. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Surely every man walks in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heaps up riches and knows not who will gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because you did it. Remove my stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When you rebuke, do correct a man for iniquity. You make his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not your peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. Amen. Anybody have a modern translation that they like? Hallelujah. New Living. And let's see, verse 4. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Now I know, I'm not old. I'm 51. I'm not old. But I'm not 18 anymore. I'm not 20 anymore. And I've lived enough decades to know how fast a decade can go. And before I snap my fingers, I'll be 60. Then I'm going to be 70. And then should the Lord tarry his coming, I'll be 80. And then I'll be 90. And then, you know, whatever. But at 51, I can see that's not very long. I'm going to get up and lie down a few more times, and my life will be over. My life will be done. What will it mean? What will it mean? What will I have done?
Yes. Amen.
Will it have mattered that I walked dusty streets? Will it have mattered that I lived? And remember, greatness is not defined by getting your name known by millions of people. Greatness will be defined for all to see one day. For all to see one day. By whether or not you did the will of God or not. Remind me that my days are numbered. Some people say, well, I don't want to think about it. The Bible says, I need to think about it. You need to think about it. Over in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul said, redeem the time. Redeem it. Buy it back. It's precious. There's no more of it. When this day's gone, it's over. And you'll never get it back. Amen? And that my life is fleeing away. My life is no longer than the width of my hand. An entire lifetime is just a moment to you. Human existence is but a breath. Yeah, that's a good one. Go with me to James chapter 4. Let's look at something James said. Y'all okay?
Yes.
Now, listen. You and I, we should not draw back from the will of God for our lives. It is, and again, I'm young, but I've been walking with Him for 30 years. And it has been thrilling, exciting, some of it fun. Amen. Not all of it, I don't want to lie to you. Mm-hmm. Not doing the will of God is not always fun. Right. Yeah. On the mind, right. On the flesh. Right. Yeah. Amen. There's a price to pay right. To do the will of God. Amen. Amen. But I've never regretted a day. Okay. God is, what did He say to you? Remember what He said? He said, son, you have health. Health is connected to being in the will of God. He said, you have wealth. In other words, I have a flow of provision in my life. Amen. Why do I have that? Because I'm in His will. Well, why would I like having provision. Why would I not want to be in His will? But the devil has lied to so many Christians. Millions of them believe if they really commit in their heart to go all in with God and His will, their fun is over. That's what the devil's told them. That's a lie. People have not gone into I remember a precious brother. He's called to the ministry. He's running from it today. And he is one of the most miserable people in Paducah. Because he watched his parents struggle. They grew up in a denomination that believed holiness is poverty. And he doesn't want anything to do with the ministry. Because in his mind, he watched what his mom and dad, how his mom and dad lived, how the church treated them. Listen, that happened to them, but that wasn't the will of God. That's congregational wrong thinking. That's denominational wrong thinking. That's wrong thinking in mom and dad. To put up with that, it's not Bible. I had the same thoughts, you know, when I realized I was called to the ministry. And I remember my pastor, my childhood pastor at his retirement party, getting up as he was done. I'm out of the ministry. I'm leaving this. Just because he just thought it was time. And at his retirement party, he said, pastoring has been the loneliest thing I've ever done. Well, I'm standing there, called to pastor. He's finished. I'm starting. And that didn't sound very appealing to me. Social person, the man that I am. Amen. But that wasn't God's will that happened to him. Amen. Glory to God. No, you're believing a lie of the devil if you think your fun is over.
That's right.
Ask Jonah how much fun he had. out of the will of God. Fish bait. Listen, the will of God is your wealthy place. We don't just occupy physical place. We occupy spiritual space. And there is no more blessed, no greater place to live your life than in the will of God. I was just listening to a minister, and he was talking about how years ago, when he was telling the story, he went with 15 other people on a mission trip to South America. And there was about 15 or 20 of them. And during their trip to South America, there was a military coup in that country. And it broke out, and right where they were, there were people, soldiers, jumping out of the wall, out of the fort, to turn around and fire on the people that were they were once on that side. And there was machine gun fire just down the block from where they were. And so their host, the one who lived in that country that was their host, he gathered them all in a room and he said, let's pray. And nobody had to ask him twice or wonder why we ought to pray. And before he prayed, he said this, how many of you believe it was the will of God for you to come here? Because it matters, doesn't it? And this minister said, I don't know what anybody else thought, but I know for me it wasn't a question because it didn't look like I could go. I didn't have the money to go. I didn't really know that I wanted to go, but God dealt with me in a very strong way that I should go and that I was to go, and he provided the money supernaturally for me to go. I know it's the will of God that I came down here. And the man said, if it's God's will for you to come down here, there's no safer place to be. He said, you're safer here with me with the machine gun fire going down the street than you would be in America out of the will of God. The devil has lied to people. I don't have one ounce of regret of doing the will of God best I know. Amen. Did you find James chapter 4? Amen. Look at verse number 13. It says, go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such city. We will continue there a year, buy and sell and get gain. So here James is addressing this attitude, this hypothetical thing, and people do this all the time. Hey, babe, let's leave Paducah. Let's go to Nashville. Let's stay at least a year. Let's start a business and we'll make all kinds of money. And that's what he's addressing here, this mindset. And people say, well, what's wrong with that? A lot.
Yeah, come on.
I said a lot.
Sure.
Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? Let's find out. It is even a vapor. There goes your whole life. That's it. It's over. Done. What is your life? It appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will. So he corrects the wrong attitude and he brings people back to the right way of thinking about it. And he brings people back to what is God's will? Why? Because you don't, what is your life? It's a vapor. And the only thing that matters is this his will? Is it his will that we move to Nashville? Is it his will that we start a business? Did he really tell us to do that? God tell me to marry this person? Did God tell me to date this person? Amen. What church did God tell me to attend? Who did God ordain as my pastor? What did God say I should do about my education? What does God want me to pursue in my life? It's the only thing that matters. When it's all said and done, it's the only thing that matters. Let me just quote to you a verse, because we can't turn to them all. Everybody doing okay?
Yes.
All right, praise God. We were talking about how do you think, who is great? What is great? Well, let me just read this to you. This is Acts 13:22. Paul is preaching a sermon, and he gets down and he makes this statement about how God looked at David, how God saw King David, all right? And in Acts 13:22 it says, and said, God said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man with many followers. A man with a lot of earthly clout. He's really popular down there. No. God called him a man after my own heart. Well, I wonder what that means in the eyes of the Father. Because you know what? I claim nothing great. I am nothing great. I don't think of myself as great. But God called this man a man after his own heart. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to wonder. We just read on. A man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Who is a woman after God's heart? Someone who is committed to do all His will. That's greatness. And if God has called you to be a mom, and be a great mom and raise godly children and be light in your community and honor your husband, serve in your local church, and be a prayer warrior and an intercessor and a servant. And God never speaks to you about any more than that. You do that faithfully throughout your life, you are great in the eyes of God. And there will come a day when on judgment day, there's going to come a day where your greatness will be heralded. Your faithfulness will be celebrated, and you will be abundantly and equally rewarded. Because you did what God told you to do. Amen. Turn with me to Mark chapter 3. I want you to see this. I think you'll like this too. Ooh, the Lord is helping us. I didn't think I got time left to burn, and we've covered some ground here. I think you're doing your part here. Mark chapter 3. This is an account in Jesus' life, and it reveals who, I'm going to say it this way, who Jesus claims as His own. Who does Jesus claim as His own? So Mark chapter 3, and you all forgive me, I am in a new Bible still. We're going to look at verse 31. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. Now, so brethren is not, that's his, Mary's other children. Right. Jesus's half-brothers. You with me? And Mary. So this is the scene. It says multitude, but really he's in a home. The commentaries I said, they believe that Jesus is in Peter's mother-in-law's house, and it is filled with people. So there's a multitude. You know, 50 in my house would be a multitude. You know what I mean? That's a lot of people in my house. And but we're not on a seashore with thousands of people, right? And so Mary, his mother, and his half-brothers come up, and they can't get in the house. It's packed, and Jesus is in there teaching. He's actively doing the will of God for his life. There came then his brethren and his mother, standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without or outside seek for thee. And he answered them saying, who is my mother or my brothers? And he looked round about on them which sat about him and said, behold, this is my mother. These are my brothers. What does it say? I lost my page. Verse 35. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Now, lest you think Jesus is being disrespectful to his mother and to his natural family, he wasn't. At this time in his earthly ministry, you could read about this in Matthew and John, Jesus' brothers did not believe in him at this moment. And even Mary at this moment believed that Jesus was beside himself. They thought he has lost it. He is out of his mind. And they came to intervene. This was an intervention. And they meant to shut him down from what he was doing. What was he doing? The will of God. And his own family didn't get it. And Jesus is not trying to diminish kin and blood kin and family. But he took the occasion to not diminish the importance of your family, but to highlight the importance of the will of God above all else. Your family is important, but it is not nearly as important as doing the will of God for your life. I told Amber, you know, it was a polite conversation and she was all in with me. And I just said, listen, I figured this out, honey. I'm called to the ministry. I don't know what that's going to mean. But if he says go, I'm going. And if he says do this, I'm doing it. I just want you to understand that. And she said, I'm in. And when Paducah came up, I didn't have to drag her out here. No. Why? Because we entered our marriage together with the same commitment. We don't know everything. We don't know everything, but we do know this. We decide right now. When the will of God is revealed, we're doing it. And you got to get that way. Okay, he said, wring more juice out of that, what he told me. Chris, you have health and wealth. You have provision. You have protection. You have the angels. You have peace. You have joy. You have fulfillment. You have all these things. Why? Because I'm his favorite? I am. No, I'm in his will. I am in his will. And who does Jesus esteem? Who does he exalt? Who does he elevate? People who will do the will of God for their life. Now you might write this down. We're not going to take time to turn there. But Jeremiah 29:11 says this. For I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. To give you a hope. Come on, that's what people need. To give you a hope. To give you a future. And to bring you to an expected end. You know where that is? In his presence, face to face, on streets of gold. Come on. Embracing God Almighty. To know him as he knows us. That's our future. To live in eternal bodies that don't wrinkle or have pains or aches, that are not subject to disease. We will travel at the speed of thought. Come on, this is our future. He said, he said to that one in that parable, Jesus said, oh, you've been faithful over a few things. Come on, enter into drudgery. No, he said, enter into the joy, to the joy of the Lord. You have been faithful over a few things. Now I'm going to make you a ruler over 10 cities.
Come on.
Come on. You know, there are faithful God-fearing men that God called them to usher. And they were called them to be a dad and a husband. And they did that. And they did what God told them. And they're going to come in and God said, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You've been faithful over a few things. In the millennium, you will be in charge of 10 cities. And you'll be like, for ushering? For staying faithful to my marriage covenant? Big deal. Bigger than we know. Bigger than we thought. Hallelujah. I'm not going to get any greater reward than any of you for just doing what God told me to do. God didn't tell you to do what He's told me to do. And so you're not responsible. You will not be held accountable. But He's called you to something, Gabe. Malachi has called you to something. Praise God. Paul, He's called you to something. We're all called. I said, we're all called. He's got a will. For I know the plans that I have for you. Come on, I know the plans, Jude. I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse number 8, I believe, eye has not seen, ear has not heard it, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Right. Woo, glory to God. He said, in other words, I can't put it all, I can't reveal it all to you right now because your little heart could not conceive it, could not receive it. I'll have to do it little by little, just like with the promised land. He told the Israelites, you'll take the promised land little by little. One of the first prophecies my spiritual father ever gave to me over on Jackson Street, he said, son, if you knew, he said, stop trying, by the Spirit, stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to figure it out. He said, if you knew today the gravity, the bigness, the largeness of what God has planned for you, you would reject it. You could not take it. You would not receive it. So just stop. Just enjoy yourself where you're at. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. You know the will of God will keep you alive? When nothing else will keep you alive, the will of God will keep you alive. Caleb said, after 45 years of wasting away in the wilderness with those disobedient Hebrews, he said, the Lord has kept me alive. He has kept me alive. Why? Because God still had to fulfill His will in his life, which was to see Caleb go into the promised land. And he said, at 85, I'm a man of ready for war. I'm just as strong at 85 as I was when I was 45. Give me my mountain. Give me my inheritance. I've been waiting. It's time. It's time. All those years, what kept him alive? The will of God. The will of God will keep you alive when nothing else will. Everything they tried to do to Paul, they whipped him, they flogged him, they caned him, they jailed him. A night and a day he spent in the deep twice. Right? More than once he was beaten with rods. His body bore the scars. The Bible says, he said in his own letter to the Ephesians that they threw him out there with all the other gladiators to be fed for sport to the crowd by lions. And you know, you almost just read past it. Even out of them the Lord delivered me. You mean like, what? How did you get out of there? Tell me that story. I cannot wait to get through administration so I can run to Paul and say, all right, I'm sitting right here. You're not going anywhere. How did you get out of that? I want to know. I believe that heaven's got Blu-ray, 4K, 8K. I believe there's a video recording of everything. And that as a pastime, Caden, you and I, one afternoon, we could go sit and watch David kill Goliath. And we just hit repeat, repeat, repeat. Show it to me again. All right, now advance to the chapter where they put Daniel in the lion's den. I want to see it. Come on. Oh, we have so much to live for. So much to look forward to. This is not all there is. Aren't you glad? This life on this earth is the most short, the most fleeting thing you and I will ever do. That's it. It's over. And yet our eternity will be defined. Our reward will be defined by what we did with a handbreadth, a vapor, a wisp of time on this earth. We should get busy. We should get focused. Hebrews 12 says, we should run with endurance the race that is set before us, laying aside every sin and every weight, every hindering thing that would keep us from running our race to the finish. Looking unto Jesus. Oh, I just don't have time. I don't have time. You think about what the will of God meant to Jesus. He said, I came not to do my own will, but to do the will of him that sent me. He said things like, no man can take my life. I have power to lay it down, and I have been given the power to take it up again. You know what he said next? For that is the charge I received from my Father. You are untouchable in the will of God. We say, well, Pastor Chris, they took Paul's head from him. Not until the will of God was over. Not until the will of... He said, I have finished. I have run it. I have kept the faith. I have done it all. Go ahead. I guarantee you, he never felt the blade. His spirit was out of his body before his head hit the ground. Paul told Jesse Duplantis in 1988, if you believe it, Jesse Duplantis, you could watch the whole thing, his recounting of it on YouTube. Jesse Duplantis went to heaven, he talked to Paul. Went into Paul's house. And I asked Jesse Duplantis about this personally just a few weeks ago. I said, please tell me this story. And he said, yes, it's true. Just like I said, Paul said, I live my life down there to get here. What a statement. I live my life down there to get here for this. And he still called it like he did in the Bible, my gospel. They would say, what are they doing with my gospel? And then, you know, he said other things, but then Jesse Duplantis started to walk away. And the Apostle Paul, think about that. You're going to get to talk to him too. He said, hey, Jesse, come back. So he came back. He said, you're going back, right? Yeah. Would you do me a favor? Absolutely. He said, when you go back, my gospel, I wrote in my gospel that these light afflictions were but for a moment. They have made it a lifetime. Go back and correct that. These light afflictions are not for a lifetime, but for a moment. And that work of affliction is working for us a greater degree of glory. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, it's not worth quitting. It's not worth being discouraged over. It's not going to stay. It's not going to last. It cannot. If you'll look at what's eternal and not temporal, we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are unseen. You keep your eye on the prize, honey. You keep your eye on where you're going. And these things are going to pass away. The whole world is passing away. It's all going to get burned up. Amen? But what will remain, what will abide forever is doing the will of God. I would like you to turn to one last scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. Friends, hold fast. Hold fast. If it's hard, hold fast. Don't quit. And don't fear. Don't fear to do what's in your heart. It will work out. God's called you to the ministry. Go that way. It will work out. You see, if you refuse to do His will, you have to pay for your own. Do you understand that, right? You have to pay for your will. You know what's the most overrated thing on the planet? Your will. Overrated. You know what I want? What my eye is too small to see. And my ears haven't heard. And that which is yet to enter into my heart. The things that God has prepared for me because I love Him. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are His workmanship, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, to take paths that he prepared beforehand, living the good life that he prearranged and made ready for us to live. But if you do your thing, you get to pay for that. So I hope you can work that hard and that you're that smart. And even if you do fund your own life and you have some earthly pleasure and success, I'm about to show you what's going to happen to it when it's all said and done. Now, this is a whole teaching. Maybe next week we'll look at it. But, I thought I was there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible talks about, and I'm saving a lot of references, and I know I've taken you several places in your Bible today. But in Romans 14, the Bible says, "For we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Talking to Christians. You know, just because you got saved doesn't mean you're done with judgment. You're not. "For we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Paul repeats that in his letter to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Says, "For we must all appear." Right? You know, she had jury duty the other day. Well, we had to change our plans. We had to change our anniversary plans. Why? She must appear. Well, you have an, we all have an appointment at the judgment seat of Christ. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where we're at, Paul gives a vivid description of what this day is going to look like for all of us. And so in verse number 10, we'll pick it up. Well, let's pick it up in verse 9. And I'm almost finished. "For we are laborers together with God." See, we are doing His will is our partnering up with Him to accomplish what He wants. Amen. "For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry." One translation says, "You are His garden, His cultivated ground. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And another," look at this, "builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon." Meaning how he builds on the foundation Paul laid. "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." What's the foundation of your life? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Now listen, I hope you're okay. There's room for things in your life that you call important. I haven't said that yet, but there is room in your life for things that you call important. But two things reign supreme. And every human being will be a colossal failure if they don't get these two supreme things. Number one, to know Him. To know Him, to have and enjoy and live your life in a relationship with God. Number two is to fulfill His will, to complete your assignment. Those two things reign supreme. You having a paint color you want, if that's important to you, God cares about it. But nothing else should come above those two things in your life. They should define you, Paul. Jerry, they should define who you are. Knowing Him. To know Him. That's why He made me, that I might know Him. If I don't know Him, I am not fulfilling the reason that I exist. You know, what if the fish, you know, it's a good mature fish, had a blessed life. But one day he looks up out of the water and he sees this bird soaring through the air. And he says to himself, "I'm tired of being wet. I'm tired of being cold. I'm tired of being chased by all these bigger fish. I want to fly. I want to feel the air. I want to breathe. I want to feel the air on my face. I want to lock in my wings like the bird. And so he steps up out of the water and leaves the environment God created him to live in. The only thing he gets is death. And when Adam took his will and used it against God's will, he had to leave God in his presence. And the fish was meant to live in water. And the bird was meant for the sky. And the animals were meant for land. But you and I were made for God. We were made for God. And if you try to live, I'm tired. I want to do my own thing. Be my own boss. Have it my way. Then you leave the atmosphere for which you were created to live and thrive. And the only thing you'll get is death. The greatest of all human transgressions, the greatest of all sins, is to use our will against His will. And all the harm and the tragedy and the death that has happened since the fall of man can be attributed to one man's taking his will and using it against God's will. It's called treason. Anyway, back to this so we can close here. I told you it's weighty, but I haven't meant it to be heavy. And there's no place like living in the will of God, I'm telling you. But it's coming out the way it's coming out. And we prayed and all that. But people need to take this serious. We need to take it serious. So the foundation, according to verse 11, is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon... Now, let's call you the man. You get saved, that's your foundation. If any man build upon his foundation, let's call it... What does he say? Gold, silver, precious stones. Then he gives three more categories. Wood, hay, and stubble. Every man's work, your work, Joe, your work, call it your life, shall be made manifest. In other words, it shall be made known. It will be revealed. For the day will declare it or reveal it. That day is the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear. Because it will be revealed or made known for what it is. How? By fire. And the fire will try or test every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work or life abide, there's that word abide. What's going to abide forever? The will of God. If any man's work abide or remain, which he has built thereon, he will receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. What? Loss of what? Your reward, not your salvation. Look at what it says. He himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So, you remember the thief on the cross with Jesus? He's dying. He said wisely, Jesus, today, remember me in paradise. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said today, you'll be with me in paradise. A lot better than going to hell. But let me ask you, when he appears before this day, and the fire tests his works, 99.9% of his entire existence will be burned away. He'll be saved. No reward. No reward. So, one day, who are we going to pick on today? Deacon Philip. This looks like a striped piece of paper. It's not. It's got the smallest character of type that we could put on it. And let's just say that this little bitty microfiche type is the heavenly record of everything Deacon Philip did in his life since he got saved. What it means is one day we will all be called. Chris, step forward. And the fire will be applied to the record of my life. Now, if gold and silver and precious stones is this, it will survive the fire. But if I built upon my salvation a life of wood and hay and stubble, well, okay. No, I had to do the trick. I'm shaking. I don't know why. Now, this is your life. This is 86 years. Slowly. Thank you. You know what's going to happen, right? Aren't you glad this is not your testimony? How many Christians? They got saved. They are saved. But they live the whole of their life outside of the will of God. And when this process gets done, they will be saved. But they will suffer the loss of their eternal reward. It's a lot better than dying and going to hell. Isn't it? I said it's a lot better than dying and going to hell. But this is tragic. This is tragic. This is Christian life. This is eternity. This is what wood, hay, stubble, everything you did outside of the will of God will come to ash, will come to nothing. When it's all over in eternity, it means nothing. It will not be remembered. It's gone. It's over. And there's no chance to go back to earth and earn and to build with gold and silver and precious stones. Don't let this be the heavenly record of your earthly walk. And it's not hard. Be loving. That's the will of God. Be faithful to His Word. That's the will of God. Love your mate. Love your family. Be moral. Be upright. Be a witness. Be a light. Serve. Serve with gladness. Serve with honor. Serve with distinction. Worship. Be grateful. Be thankful. Be a giver. Be a blessing. Come to church. Help build the church. Amen. Be a prayer. Pray for people. Do what God tells you to do. And your reward will be great. It will be abundant. You will be remembered. Who has God called you to partner with in ministry? Come on, get in on that reward. Support the missionaries. Right? Just keep doing what most of you have been doing. Helping advance the cause of the church. Build His kingdom. Two things reign supreme. Know Him. Know Him. Do His will. And anyone in your life that is not doing His will, let them go. Let them go. I'm not saying divorce your spouse, but in your heart and your mind, you don't let their unwillingness to know God and serve God to keep you from knowing God and keep you from serving God. And don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And guard your fellowship and respect the dangers of the tempter. He's subtle. He's crafty. And he was able to talk Adam and Eve into using their will against God's will. And he got them out of the will of God, and he could kill them. And he did. And he could rule and reign in their place. And he did. And he became the God of this world. He is that today. He won't always be. Because Adam took his will and used it against God's. Amen. Amen. Would you bow your head today?